Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad that you have joined us again this week. You know, his word tells us great shalom have those who love his Torah, and it says that nothing will cause them to stumble. So with that said, we're going to go ahead and jump into his Torah this week. This week, we have started the book of Exodus. So we are actually going to be starting to read about the redemption story of our Lord and Savior, and how that speaks to us as we learn of the redemption of Israel, of how they came out of Egypt. And of course, we apply that into our lives. The whole Passover event was a prophetic and a picture that pointed towards the very thing that Yeshua was going to do for us and to anyone who would believe in the world. So we're going to be starting in Exodus this week. And this week, we're actually going to be talking about how the enemy hates redemption, how the enemy rose up against God's people and against this idea of them coming out of Egypt. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to start in Exodus chapter 1 and verse 15. It says, "Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiphrah, the name of the other was Puah. And he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. Therefore, God dwelt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mightily. So it was, because the midwives feared God, that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive." So when we start with this story in Exodus, the first thing that we see here is that there is a new Pharaoh in charge in Egypt. And this Pharaoh does not know who Joseph is. He does not remember Joseph. He doesn't remember the greatness and the great things that he had done for the nation of Egypt, how he had interpreted Pharaoh's dream at the time of Joseph. And he brought salvation, you could say, to Egypt and to the nations of the world around him as well, in the ability to be able to store up food and be prepared for the famine that was coming. So in this short passage that we just read, there is quite a bit that we can see here. Number one, this Pharaoh starts to fear the people of Israel, the text tells us, because there were so many people in Israel. Remember, when Jacob went with his sons into Egypt because of the famine, and Joseph had told them, come into the land because of the famine, he goes, there was only 70 people of his family. So only 70 people of Israel go into Egypt. Now remember, scripture said that Abraham's descendants would be a stranger in a foreign land for 400 years. So at this moment in time, Israel has approached that 400 years, meaning it is now time for redemption to occur. So Yahweh begins to put his plan into action on how he was going to redeem Israel out of Egypt. And over this 400 years, we see that the 70 people of Israel grew so mightily because of the blessing that was upon Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and upon this family, that they grew mightier and stronger than the Egyptians. So Pharaoh feared him. I also believe the reason why Pharaoh begins to kill the male children is the enemy himself knew of this word, you could say, or prophecy that was spoken unto Abraham, that his descendants would live as a foreigner in a foreign land for 400 years. So the enemy, Satan himself, knew that 400 years was coming to an end and knew that it was coming close at a time that this nation of Israel, which went in as a family, is now leaving as a nation. It is time for them to come out of Egypt and for them to inherit the promised land, the land that he had promised unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And so the enemy wants to stop it. He wants to stop the redemption of Israel from occurring. So he begins to attack the male children of the nation of Israel because he does not want them to leave. Now, of course, we know that Yahweh still protected his people. We see that he protected his people in the fact that the midwives chose not to obey Pharaoh, but instead it says that they feared God. They feared God over Pharaoh. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that subject here as we get further along in this teaching. But even in the midst of the persecution that was going on there to Israel, we see that they even grew even stronger when the persecution came. So let's just think about that. You know, we live in a dark world, and our redemption draws near. And Satan, just like he did not want Israel to leave Egypt, just like he did not want Yeshua to be born, he did not want Yeshua to bring redemption to the people in this world, and he tried to stop that, he is going to try and stop and do everything he can, and he's going to ramp up the persecution. He's going to ramp up the darkness and the pressure that we feel in this world as we draw near to this redemption, the second redemption that is coming our way when that trumpet blows in the sky and he returns. So as we draw nearer to that day, the persecution is going to ramp up. But you know what? When we read scripture, those who are true believers, those who are people of God, when the persecution ramps up, you know what happens? The church grows stronger and mightier. So that is a good thing. That is awesome. And so maybe that's something we need to see a little bit more in our communities. Maybe we are a little bit too comfortable with where we are and what's going on around us. And we have become a little lazy, a little fat, you could say, in spiritual terms when it comes to the church or the body of believers here in America. So let's go ahead and look at example in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 13. And we're going to look at a passage here another time when Satan attempted to stop the redemption of God's people. Now, when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry. And he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. So here we see, even in the birth of Yeshua, Satan knew what was coming. He knew the prophecies. He knew who Yeshua was, that he was the Messiah. So he used evil men, just as he was using Pharaoh to try and kill the male children of Israel. He uses Herod to try and kill the Messiah who had just been born, trying to get rid of the one who was bringing redemption. Why does Satan hate redemption? Well, let's look at what redemption is. Redemption is a purchase. Okay, so when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they allowed sin to come into the world. they actually gave sin dominion over the world, and they gave sin dominion over themselves. So we, who are men and women born of the flesh from Adam, we are all born into sin from that error that occurred in the garden. So we are all born with this sinful nature. And we were all born under the control of Satan. He was our ruler. He was the one we were serving, even though we did not know we were serving him. You either serve one or two masters. You're either serving Satan or you're serving Yahweh. There is no other options. To the one who tries to say they are an atheist and there is no God, you are still serving Satan. You are under his control. You are under his power. Okay? He has blinded your eyes to prevent you from coming into redemption. That is his plan. That is his purpose. That's his desire, is not to lose anyone from his rule. He wants to keep everybody underneath him. He does not want to see anybody be redeemed to serve Yahweh. So that's what redemption is. We were under the control of Satan, and he had every right to us because we had sinned. All has sinned. All has fallen short. Okay, so someone had to pay the price for our sin. So Yeshua, being the one who was spotless, who was without sin, he came and lived a perfect life on this earth. And he died upon that cross for us. His blood was shed upon that cross. And on the third day, he rose from that grave alive, defeating sin and death. So those who believe in him, sin is defeated in their life, death is defeated in their life, and they get to look forward to the fact that they will spend eternity with him. They will have eternal life, everlasting life. So sin is defeated in our lives. We will see the resurrection in our lives. We can also see his resurrection power in our life when it comes to defeating sin within our lives. By his blood that was shed upon the cross, and by the fact that he rose from that grave on the third day, whoever believes in him receives redemption. So our faith in him, our faith in the fact that his blood was shed for us, he purchased us from the control of Satan or sin. So we no longer are under the power of sin or Satan. We have been bought with a price, that being his blood. So now we are free to serve Yeshua. We are now free to serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And how do we serve him? We serve him by being faithful in the covenant, by walking in obedience to the instructions, which is his Torah. His Torah lays out how we are to love him, how we are to worship him in a set apart manner, in a way that is pleasing unto him. And his Torah lays out how we are to love our brothers. And when we love our brother according to the way his scripture has laid it out, it sets us apart from the world. We are a servant to the one whom we obey. That is what Paul said. If you are obeying sin, then you are a servant unto Satan. And that is what Satan desires and what he wants. And that is why he attacks redemption. That is why he attacks the people of this earth. He blinds their eyes. He comes against those who would try to preach the gospel. He comes against those who would try to share the truth of Yeshua to the lost and the dying and the world around them. And why he hardens the heart of men. Because he wants them to serve him and not to serve Yahweh. But when we possess a faith in Yeshua, because we can never be obedient to the Torah until first we have been cleansed by the blood of Yeshua, until first we've been redeemed. Because if we haven't been redeemed, we can't break the yoke of sin off of our own lives. That has to be done by the blood of Yeshua and by the empowerment of His Holy Spirit living inside of us. Now we're able to serve the living God of Abraham. So let's look here in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. As I spoke here, I kind of made mention there that Satan does not want the gospel to be preached across the world. And that is the way Satan is attacking redemption today, is by trying to prevent the gospel from being preached. So let's look at the early body of believers in the early church and the disciples of how they faced this same obstacle. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Yeshua. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go outside of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name." So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Yeshua. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge." Now, this story with Peter and John, remember, this started as they were entering into the temple, and there was a man there asking or begging for money. And Peter looks at this man and says, "Money I do not have to give you, but there is something I can give you." And he heals the man in the name of Yeshua. So this lame man receives healing. He rises up. He's able to walk. He starts jumping up and down. He runs in. Everybody seeing this guy who was once lame, laying at the gate, is now running and is able to walk. And he is telling them that he was healed by Peter and John by this name of Yeshua. So, of course, this gets everybody's attention. This riles up the religious leaders of the time. And they're like, hey, we can't be having this. Now, what the religious leaders don't know is that in their blindness, they're actually being operated and actually working for the enemy, Satan himself. And the fact that they were trying to prevent the gospel of Yeshua from being spread, or the good news of Yeshua. See, part of the good news of Yeshua is, number one, that we have forgiveness of sins. And number two is that he has the power to heal those who are sick. And they wanted to put an end to this. They did not want this spreading any further. Who's the one that does not want the gospel being spread any further? That is the devil. So in their attempt to stop it, they tell them, "You are not allowed to speak of this name of Yeshua anymore." Basically saying, you are not allowed to go about and spread the gospel anymore. You know, even in the world today, there are nations around this world that are closed to the gospel of Yeshua, where those governments do not allow the preaching of the gospel of Yeshua within their nations. And those who go into those nations to share the gospel of Yeshua do it with the risk of being caught and possibly losing their life, deciding to still bring the name of Yeshua, to preach the name of Yeshua, to bring his gospel into those nations, even though the leaders, the political leaders of those nations say, do not do it. Because what does Peter and John say? What is it right to listen to you more than to God? Meaning that when the bottom line, when it comes down to, do we listen to our leaders more than God? Now look, Paul tells us that we are to be subject to our government leaders. We are to be obedient to our government leaders until it gets to the point where they would cause us to be defiant or disobedient to the Torah and the commands and the instructions of the Almighty. So the command to go into the world and preach the gospel to every living creature, remember, that was the command that Yeshua gave unto his disciples before he ascended into the air. That command resides upon us today. We are to go into the nations of the world. We are to preach the gospel of Yeshua to every living being. That should be our goal as believers on this earth, is that every person hears the good news of Yeshua. That is the command given unto us. And that command is greater and mightier than any government who would forbid the preaching of the gospel of Yeshua. And we go back to the story of the midwives. The midwives did not listen. They did not heed Pharaoh's voice. They chose instead to fear God. So they did not kill the boys, but they kept them alive. And God protected the midwives. And in that, he still brought forth Moses. He still brought forth the one who was going to bring forth the redemption of the people of Israel out of Egypt. God protects his people. He protects those who are in covenant with him. Now, yes, there are times where there have been those who have been martyred. Stephen is a biblical example of that. But even in that, we can be as Stephen, and we can die in the grace that Stephen did, because his spirit and his power will be upon us. It is nothing to fear, because death here on earth is just, this is temporary, because we will be raised again, and we will take this body here, this body of corruption, one day is going to put on incorruption. If we die on this earth, we will be resurrected again in incorruption. We will see a second life, and we will be raised in his spirit, and we will live eternity, in eternity with him. Let's look at Acts chapter 1 and verse 3. And this is another scripture that talks, an example of how someone attempted to prevent the spreading of the gospel of Yeshua. Now, Saul was consenting to his death. This is speaking of Stephen. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. So here we see Saul. This is before Saul was converted. He, in his religious zeal, was persecuting the early church. And how was he persecuting them? He was going to every house. He was going to the house of those who were believers. He was dragging both men and women out of their houses and was throwing them in prison. We see that occurring in nations across the world even today. So we need to be a people who understand and realize that we are in a serious battle in the earth today. It is not a battle against flesh and blood. It is a spiritual battle that we are in. We are in a battle against Satan, against his kingdom. When you get serious about the word of God and you get serious about his commandment of bringing the gospel of Yeshua to the corners of the earth, you can rest assured that he is going to come against you. The disciples and the early believers were a threat to his kingdom. He did not want them going about doing the work that they were doing. And so he attacked them. He attacked them hard. But we need to be like the disciples were. After they were confronted, in that passage we read previously in Acts chapter 4, when they got back, they prayed for the Holy Spirit to give them more boldness, and they continued to do the work they were told to do. And we read of stories of how Peter was thrown into jail and how he was locked up, but the Lord brought him out. Yahweh brought him out. We read stories about how Saul was thrown into prison, but yet he was brought out. So we, as believers, need to understand and know that if we are going to be obedient to his command, and we want to be serious about seeing redemption, the message of redemption spread throughout this world, then the enemy is going to come against us. And we have to be willing to be able to stand and fight against that spirit. Let's look at 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. He has filled every believer with his Holy Spirit. We are his dwelling place. Not only has he given us a command to go into the world, to preach the gospel to the four corners of the world, but he has given us the very thing we need in order to accomplish that task. And that is his Holy Spirit living inside of us. Just as the disciples prayed, Lord, fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with his Spirit each and every day, knowing that it's his Spirit living inside of us, that his Spirit living inside of us is greater than he who is in the world. Who is he who is in the world? That is Satan. It is his forces that are at work in the world around us. So when his forces try to kill the nation of Israel while they are in Egypt, when he attacks the birth of the boys, when he tries to attack the birth of the boys at the time of Yeshua, when he was born, trying to kill Yeshua, who was the Passover lamb, the one who brought redemption unto us, who is bringing redemption to the world. The Spirit living inside of us is greater than the one who tried to do those things. It is by his Spirit that those midwives were able to stand against Pharaoh and to be obedient to God instead of unto Pharaoh. It is by his Spirit that Joseph was able to protect Yeshua as a young child. It is by his Spirit that the early disciples were able to turn their world upside down with the preaching of the good news of Yeshua. The same Spirit is living inside of each and every single one of us. And his desire is for us to turn our worlds upside down. Now, our call is not to argue and fight with people, but it's simply to preach the good news. It's to share the good news, to tell them the good news, and allow His Spirit to convict the hearts of people. He anoints us by His Holy Spirit. His Spirit, if we can learn to trust His Spirit, to trust the anointing that is upon us, His Spirit to tell us the right words to say, to speak His words, not to try to speak our own and try to convince people on our own efforts and argue with people on our own, but allow the Spirit to do His thing and His work. And remember, we need to be a people who speak and share, but that also needs to go hand in hand with prayer, because we fight the enemy through prayer. And we need to be a people of prayer who are fighting against the principalities of this world, who are tearing down the dark forces, the dominion that the enemy is trying to rule over. If we can attack these things and get in prayer and believe for Yeshua and for His Spirit to operate and move throughout this world, that as we go out and we share the good news of Yeshua, that His Holy Spirit will follow and bring conviction and also bring signs and wonders as a confirmation of His word. That is what the signs and wonders were. They were a confirmation of the good news of Yeshua. So He is greater inside of us. So we have nothing to fear. So yes, the enemy hates redemption, and he tried to stop redemption, and he failed in Exodus chapter 1. He tried to stop redemption in Matthew, but he failed. He tried to stop the spread of the gospel in the book of Acts, but he failed. He will try to stop the spread of the good news today, but he will fail, because greater is He that is living inside of us than he that is living in the world. Now let's look at one last passage, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 27. Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. You know, a sad thing would be to make it to that judgment seat and for Yeshua to deny knowing us because we denied knowing Him while we lived on this earth. So let's be a people who, as the persecution ramps up, as the pressure ramps up, because redemption is drawing near, the enemy is going to ramp up his attacks. So the attacks against us are going to ramp up. Let's not lose our boldness. Let's not lose our belief, and let's continue, no matter how bad it gets, to be one who confesses Him before men and to spread His gospel to the nations of the world. Well, we are so glad that you have joined us again this week. You know, we will be back again next week, and we will continue reading through the book of Exodus, as we will continue, at least probably for the first half of the book of Exodus, we are going to be talking about redemption and how our loving Father has redeemed us. You know, He loved us before we could ever love Him. He loved us while we were yet His enemy. And He loves the world. He wants them to receive His redemption. So let's be filled with His love. If we are filled with His love, then we should be filled with a desire to see the lost saved, because that's His desire. He wants to see the lost saved. One of the things the enemy can do to us as believers to stop and to attack the plan of redemption is to make us quiet and to cause us to be quiet. So let's not allow the enemy to win in that area of our lives. So again, we will be back again next week. So we hope that you come back and you join us. So we will see you here again next week. So come back now and shalom, y'all.